Take your Bibles and look in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. And tonight, we want to preach on just one word. We won't get very far with it, but just one word. And the word is ordinance. It's found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, and verse number 2. And what I was doing, I was just simply reading. And I came across this word ordinance, and there I got stuck. And so I hope to get unstuck tonight. But the Bible said in verse number 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." So we'll do a little bit of study about this word ordinance. It's an interesting word. Let's go on in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, tonight that you might bless. Help me, Lord, that I might be able to say what you want me to say, that I would do what you want me to do, that I would be pleased, Lord, to obey you in all things. Lord, I pray for the message. You know what we need. And Lord, I pray that you might help us, that we might proclaim the things you want us to proclaim. And I pray, Lord, that you might give us understanding. Just keep us from harm. Bless those, Lord, that we've already asked prayer for. And you know the situations of each one of those individuals. And I pray, Lord, you might bless them. And Lord, I pray that you might just help us as a church, that we might be doing what you want us to do, that we need to do for you. I pray you just forgive us for our sins. Guide and keep us from harm. Save those who are lost. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. When I saw this word ordinance, you know what ordinance is? This is what got me to think about this. Because in my computer that I have at home, and you probably got one on your phone as well, where you can look up the Strong's definition and that kind of thing. Now, I like to do that. Sometimes it's mind-boggling, but sometimes it's very interesting. And this is a very interesting solution for me. But I got stuck on this word ordinances, because this word ordinance is translated 12 times as tradition, and one time as ordinance. And here it is. One time is ordinance, but every other time it's used as tradition. So, let's look at tradition. Let's start in the book of Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. And we'll notice here a little discussion that Christ has. He's always having discussions. At this time, however, it's maybe not a really good discussion. Notice what he says here. In the book of Matthew 15 and verse number 1. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, It's interesting that they left Jerusalem and came to him. He was not in Israel at this point of time. But they came to him and they said this, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Now there's that word, it's translated tradition. But in the book of 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 2, it's translated as ordinance. And I think correctly so. But they ask the question, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?" Well, they didn't wash their hands when they eat bread. They must have been working in the field. I've ate a sandwich a lot of times and never washed my hands because there's no water available except drinking water, and I drunk that. And notice the answer that Jesus Christ gives in verse number 3. He says this. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Now there's a little bit of a glitch, because there's two things being talked about. One is the commandments of God. The other is the tradition of men. Notice that? Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? Which one of those do you think are the most important? Hands down, right? The commandments of God are much more important than the traditions of men. Verse number 4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, and the word Corban is not here, but in the book of Mark it is there. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honoreth not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Well, that's something to think about. Which is the most important? The commandment of God or the tradition of man? Which is the most important? Which one are you going to be involved in? That's really what the question is. Is it a commandment or a tradition? There's lots of traditions that are in this world today, a lot of them. We need to be aware of those traditions. They're there. But there's also commandments of God that we need to be more aware of. We ought to obey always the commandments of God, always. If a commandment of God interferes with the tradition of men, which do you think should win out? It's obvious. The commandment of God is much more important than the tradition of men. But men want to have traditions and not commandments. Men don't like the commandments of God. In verse number 7, he says, you are a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. It's interesting how Jesus answered this inquiry. Now, they said this in verse number 2. Why do the disciples transgress the commandment or the tradition of the elders? And here's what they're doing. They're not washing their hands before they eat. And Jesus answers their inquiry with another question, a more important question. Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? In verse number 9, but in vain they do worship me. In vain means emptiness. They're worshiping me, they say, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Which is more important, the doctrines of men or the doctrines of God? And there's a great conflict there. There is a great conflict between the two. We need to understand that that is so. Now, this subject that Christ is speaking about, the commandments of God or the traditions of men is so important that in verse number 10, he called the multitude. He stopped the whole conversation right then, and he called the multitude unto him, and he said unto the multitude. He didn't say this just to the scribes and Pharisees. He didn't say this just to the disciples, but he's saying this to the great multitude of people there. And he said, hear and understand. So now he's wanting to get their attention. He said, I want to tell you the difference in the two. In verse number 11, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. That's all he said. Well, he said it right. In other words, you can eat catfish and like it, but don't be cussing. You can even eat a snake if you want to. I would suggest you need to cook it good. But I would also suggest that you need to worship God in your heart. That's what he's talking about. The things of the body, men are much attuned to, and sometimes much confused by. But we don't need to let things of the body destroy our worship of God. And these Pharisees and these Sadducees, they had come to this place of letting the things of this world interfere with their worship of God. Actually, they began to worship the things that they did more than they worshiped God, which is a wrong thing to do altogether. You see, it is not that which goeth into the mouth that defiles a man. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not that thing you're eating. That's not the issue. The issue is, what are you saying? What are you saying? Notice now, the reaction to all this is in verse number 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? The disciples came to Christ with intent of instructing him in the right thing to say. The disciples. I don't think it's the multitude that Christ talked to down here in verse number 10. I don't think it's them. I think it's the disciples. I think it's those 12 that followed him. And they said, the Pharisees, well, they're offended. And I want you to see Jesus' reaction to what they said to him. He said, verse number 13, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall he root up. Let them alone. And I think he said that with emphasis. He's saying, leave them alone. Don't worry about them. Don't be thinking about them. You're thinking wrong when you think about them. You're trying to appease them, and you can never appease them. Let it go. The thing is that there's people in this world that you can't change. You might as well get set for it. There's people in this world that will never agree with you. It doesn't make any difference what you do. They will never agree. You've got to make your mind up that what you're going to do is you're going to please God more than anything else. He is our master. He's our savior. He's our king. We will worship him. And we ought to please God, knowing this, that some people will disagree with you. That's it. Let them alone. Don't be worried about them. Don't go chasing after them. Don't go apologizing to them. Don't do any of that. Leave them alone. I think I'll say that again. I like that. Leave them alone. That's what he said. Leave them alone. Look at verse 14. Here's why. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And that's all he said to them. And Christ, in verse number 14, is talking about the Pharisees. Who was it that killed Christ? It was the Pharisees. They didn't change their mind. They would not change their mind. They could not see that Jesus is the real Christ. They could never get it. It was just foreign to them. It was more than they could ever imagine. They said, we know where this guy was from. Well, he's from Galilee. He was born in Galilee. We know where he's from. But they missed a little point. He wasn't born in Galilee. He was born in Bethlehem of the prophet Judah. That's what the prophet said. He was raised in Galilee. He was called a Galilean. But he was born in Bethlehem. He went down there, his mother and stepdad went down there to be taxed. The Bible tells us that story. But they didn't get it at all. Now, sometimes, even after we hear the truth from a perfect teacher, and Jesus Christ is a perfect teacher, he knew exactly what these people needed. And he's the perfect teacher. He is absolutely perfect. In verse 15, however, then answered Peter and said unto them, declare unto us this parable. The book of Mark tells us that it didn't mention Peter's name in the book of Mark. Rather, it just simply says the disciples ask him. But I imagine Peter was the spokesman, so that's what he did. And that's in the book of Mark chapter 7. Anyway, in verse 16, Jesus answered them this way. He said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? He said, don't you understand that that's the way you eat? What you eat will not defile you before God. It won't do it. What you take into your body to eat, it won't defile you. It may not be good for you. I mean, it's not good if a diabetic constantly eats sweets. It's not good for them. It's the way it is. But that won't defile the person. In verse number 17, do not ye yet understand that whosoever entereth in, whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So there's a difference in the two there. You see, it's what a man says. It's what a man believes that he acts on. That is the thing that can cause him much difficulty. It's not food that does that. Not at all. It's what a person is in their heart. If a person is a believer in their heart, that's a different thing than if they are just has religion. It's different altogether. Verse number 19. For out of the heart, for out of the heart of every man, and you can tell this when you listen to them talk, For out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts. Boy, that's the truth. Be careful. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are all bad things. These are the things that come out of the heart of a man. For out of the heart proceed these things. When these evil things come out of your heart, there's something wrong. Inside you, there's something wrong. Be careful. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. And so you can eat fine. You can eat a sandwich that's covered with dirt. And that's fine. But, well, let me say this about eating sandwich with dirt on it. It's kind of gritty if you... It's better to clean your hands a little bit. I always try to do that, a little bit. But sometimes when he's in the field and working, didn't have much water, and he tried to wash a little bit, it just made a mud pie. So I didn't do that. Didn't do that at all. I just ate gently with just like that. So that's what I did. Now, the next time this passage, what we've looked at is the difference between the commandments of God and the traditions of men. And so there's a vast difference in the two. That takes us back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 2. And this is the only place in the Bible that this word shows up as being ordinance. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 2. So now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them unto you. This word is normally translated traditions, but it means ordinance. And he's talking about ordinance in this place. There's other places in the scriptures that this word also shows up. It's in the book of Galatians. And I just want to read these and make a few comments, not too many. But in the book of Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 14 is the second one. It's the third one. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 14. And you'll see here this word, traditions, shows up. Galatians 1, 14. Here's what Paul writes. And he's talking about how that the Lord changed him and the Lord saved his soul from this. In verse 14, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And so Paul, his name was called Saul in that time, was very zealous of the traditions of his fathers, but he didn't know anything about the commandments of God. Verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace. That is, God touched him. He didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it any more than we do. But we're touched by the grace and help of Almighty God to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So there's a difference there in the two. Notice again. In the book of Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. This word traditions shows up. Colossians 2 and verse number 8. The Bible said it in this place. Colossians 2 verse number 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. You know, the ways of the wicked men never change. They never change. Generation after generation, they attempt to improve their lives, but only add to the things they must do in order to improve their lives. It's just like the Jews. God gave them 10 commandments, and they made a whole book out of it. It's ridiculous. God can give us better things than ever if we will only trust Him to give those things to us. He will do that. In verse number 8, beware. And the devil is out there doing, and men are his pawns. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and not after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So be careful about that. We can be taken away and do the wrong things, absolutely so. The book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, is another one of these places. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, and verse number 6, says this. 2 Thessalonians 3, and verse number 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. In other words, tradition is not commandment, which you would think it would be, but it's not. You know why it's not? It's because we don't have the right to command anybody. God is the master. He's the one that takes care of everything. And we're his servant. And we don't have the right to do that. So he says, in this place, the word tradition is shown to be a good one. You withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Remember Lot? Yeah, he was a saved man, but Lot partied with the lost until he lost his testimony, and he wound up losing his wife, committed incest with his two daughters, didn't go where God wanted him to go, and then changed his mind, wanted to go there. A like thing like that can happen to each of us if we try to follow something other than the commandments of God. Notice the last place. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1. Verse 17 through verse number 21. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 17 through verse number 21. And if, Peter writes here, this epistle, to the strangers, to the believers, strangers to this world, that the world don't know them. Verse 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with the corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You're not saved this way. You can do everything that your mamas and daddies did. You can do everything that your grandma and grandpa did. But that's not the way of salvation. It's not the way. You see those by tradition from your fathers. But how you say, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, for who by him do believe in God. See, that's how we're saved. That's how we learn to grow. Who by him do believe in God. That's it. That's a whole thing. That's what grace is. We don't deserve anything. It's by the grace of Almighty God that he sent Jesus Christ into the world to die for us. And Jesus always will deliver us what we need. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. The whole lesson is this. I was reading the Bible, simply reading, when I came upon this very interesting topic. It was to me, in a way. This word was translated only one time as ordinance. The other times, it was tradition. And only one of those times, when it was translated traditions, was it a good thing. It is very interesting to me that if tradition can be good, more than likely it can be bad. I mean, more than likely. But the commandment of God is always good. It's always good. We need to see why we're doing what we're doing. Why we are doing a certain thing. We examine songs to make sure we're singing the right kind of songs. That's a good thing. I've learned to love many of these songs. Now, go back to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. Now, let me ask you a question. When does the subject that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 11, when does it begin? No, it does not begin in chapter 11, verse 1. It begins before that. It's not in chapter 10 either. It's not in chapter 9 either. Where is it? It's in chapter number 8. This is where it begins. The subject, and sometimes we do this. Sometimes we take a part of a discussion and think we have it all, when we really don't. We take a little bitty section and we think, I've got it all figured out right now. That's not right. We need to see the subject that Paul is talking about. And what's he talking about? The subject of beginning in 1 Corinthians 8, in verse number 1, is things offered unto idols. That's what he's talking about. When you understand that chapter 8, 9, 10, and 11 are all talking about the same thing, then you will understand what he means when he's talking about, in chapter 11, for example, the head covering. You will understand why, in verse number chapter 11, verse number 17, that he starts talking about the Lord's Supper. You'll understand that. But until you come to the place of reading the subject matter, is really where it is, you wind up believing lots of other stuff you shouldn't. The subject he's talking about is things offered unto idols. That's what it's all about. just to show you a little bit of that, if you read in 1 Corinthians 10, he's talking about eating meat. In verse number 6, he says, these things are our examples. I mean, that's what he's talking about. He talks about temptation, verse 13. All I'm saying is that read it in context, and you'll understand why he ends this discussion about spiritual, about idols and that kind of thing with the Lord's Supper. Because they would pervert that as well. So all I'm saying is that read it all, and you'll come to this conclusion. The Bible is God's Word, but it's not a book for the casual reader. It is not. The Bible is a book that is, God intends for us to learn from it. God intends for us to yield ourselves to whatever He's teaching us. God wants us to grow up. God wants us to be the kind of people that He wants us to be. He wants us to understand. He wants us to continually know what the question is before we ever get settled on an answer. And sometimes we get settled on an answer before we even know what the question is. Understand what ordinance is. And that's all. So I'm done. I hope you are. If you've got questions, I'll try to answer them. But that's what it's all about. Study the Word of God. If you're lost tonight, we pray for you that the Lord would bless you in His own ways, that God would bring you to Himself, that God would cause you to be comforted by Him. If you're lost, there's nothing better than you can do than to trust the Lord. There is nothing better that you can do that'll settle your heart, that'll settle your mind, than to do what God wants you to do. There's nothing better. If you're lost, recognize you're lost before God. Trust Jesus and His own shed blood. He alone can wash away your sins. He can do a good job. He does it for all eternity. We pray that the Lord would help you now. Let's have us prayer, if you would, before we sing. Our precious Father, I thank You, Lord, for the day that You've given to us. Lord, I thank You for the blessings, the morning blessings, and this afternoon as well. I thank You, Lord, for being with us. I thank You, Lord, for the meal, the ones that prepared it, and all those things that we do. And Lord, I pray that You might bless those tonight that are lost, that You might bring them to You in saving faith. Lord, I pray that You might just forgive us for our sins, help us to be what You want us to be. I pray, Lord, that You might cause Your Word not to return void, but Lord, that it might accomplish that thing that You desire. Forgive us, watch over us. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Okay.